Hello and welcome to Consider This, Joe Clark, Shiri Kontos, and others. You are listening to the best of Consider This, put together over the last few years of this show. You can find the information from the show on our website at yourlifeafterwork.com, iTunes, and various other places. Obviously, we're here weekly on WILO from 4 to 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings on Shine 99 between 10 and 11 a.m. Consider This really is a show that's much more than just the weekly headlines. We work together to try to give you insights and directions into things that you may want to consider about your financial lives. And the questions come in many directions. You can always reach us on Twitter, hashtag AskBigJoe. And of course, you can email us your questions. Consider This, that's all one word, consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. We break the show down into what we call five critical financial elements. One, always begin with the end in mind. So we start with retirement income. Where is the money going to come from to maintain your standard of living? Number two, then, is the tax plan that needs to be done each and every year before the end of the year. Three is the investment policy statement. What's going to keep you from getting caught in a downturned market without paying attention, without having discipline to how you want to respond? Fourth is life happens. It's the good and the bad and the ugly of life, the things that we just normally see that take place. Last but not least is the legacy plan. Everything that we do is all about your life after work. That's the name of our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. We want to take what's going on in the world, keep you abreast of changes that matter. Sure, it's always fun to talk about markets and headlines, but what we really want to do is give you things to consider. So as I said, shoot us an email, consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. Enjoy the show. And keep in touch. If you're new to Consider This, I really don't talk about the headlines a lot. The economic stuff that is happening, and that's
or politics. We don't talk about that either.
That's not because they don't matter. Every week, I send out something on a video newsletter we call the Market Carver. It's free to anybody who wants it. After we do our allocation meeting on Monday, there's 18 of us that are on our team, and three of us are directly responsible for the portfolios. So we manage a little more than $200 million. And we come together every week. We're obviously working on it all day long, every day. But we come together every Monday and discuss everything that's going on in a collective setting, distribute that information to the team, make changes that need to be made when they need to be made. And then Adam Harder, our chief investment officer and chief investment strategist, I should say, in a CFA, one of the two of us do a video called The Market Carver. It comes out. It's free for you to be able to get. That's where we talk about the NIBOR and unemployment rates and the Brexit and all of that. You are listening to the best of Consider This, put together over the last few years of this show.
Hi, Joni Michaels here. We know you care about your money, but are you tired of worrying about it? The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people just like you who don't want to worry about their money. As fiduciaries, the team at the Financial Enhancement Group will care for your nest egg just like they would care for their own. If they were in your situation, there are many decisions you'll need to make as you face retirement, and the team at the Financial Enhancement Group is here to help you. Call 800-928-4001 or go to yourlifeafterwork.com to set up a time to meet. The confusion and complexity of retirement is almost as daunting as is the excitement of retirement. Don't let your fear and frustration of taxes and investing derail your retirement. Call the Financial Enhancement Group at 800-928-4001. They'll give you a complimentary second opinion on your strategy for retirement. Begin your adventure in your life after work. Call 800-928-4001 or yourlifeafterwork.com. Now back to Consider This program with Joe Clark.
You are listening to the best of Consider This, put together over the last few years of this show. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Shiri Kontos.
Happy to have you along. You know, I get wound up when I start talking about retirement, Shiri.
I can tell that.
it's kind of like going to the gym. Uh-huh. And, I can't call myself a gym rat anymore. But, you know, between football and wrestling and years, you know, I know what people are supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. And when you see somebody doing something wrong in a gym, it just hurts, right? It's kind of, I want to go over and be the coach and try to help them.
Yeah.
And that's really what happens with the way I look at the retirement plan.
I bet when you see somebody really messing up. I mean,
you know, people will, you know, ask a quick question, but, you know, they don't want to, it's not even that they necessarily don't want to pay for it, right? They just want to do it on their own. And it's kind of like, you know, you're going to pull a muscle, right?
Yeah.
You're not developing what you think you're developing by doing that. And that's right. What happens so often in the world of finance. And anyhow, this is what we like to call the quickest hour in radio.
It really
for
seems
Sherry
like
and
it.
I. But man. I've got three other topics that I wanted to hit. I really wanted to finish and talk more about the retirement stuff. Sherry actually said, because I'm not allowed to know what Sherry talks about in the fifth segment. For those of you on WIBC, you don't get to hear that part of the program. So you can go to our website at yourlifeafterwork.com or iTunes. Consider this with Big Joe Clark.
Yes.
And you can hear the show, the fifth segment that way.
Yep.
But Sherry was not allowed to tell me. I don't want to know. She brings in a topic. So, you know, when I showed her we were going to talk about retirement today, she kind of threw the paper down in disgust.
Yes. And said, come what? On. It wasn't disgust.
Well, it was
frustration. Maybe.
There you go. So we're going to turn the channel to another question that I got. And,
good.
And I can't state the question without making it obvious who it is. But it was really the question. The broad base of it is what do older people struggle with that are over 60 that they need to be aware of financially.
Okay.
And to a large degree, folks, I'll tell you up to the beginning that you cannot predict the future. There are some things we know. We will all die, right? We all know that. Almost everybody listening to this show will lose a spouse at some point in time. Not a good thing, but it's something that we've got to be prepared for. So what are the five most common? And I put that into the Google browser and I brought up an article from the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, number one, many struggle with debt. Now that's true. Now mm-hmm. I don't see a lot of the people who struggle with debt. Obviously we're wealth managers.
Yeah.
So the people who come here tend to have some resources saved up.
Their debt's probably useful debt.
If they have any at all.
Right.
You know, most people that we take care of have already paid their houses off, whether they should have or not.
Right.
It depends on what you believe your investment return is going to be, what your tax return looks like.
Yep.
There's a combination of issues that need to go in there. But struggling with that is a real thing. You know, mm-hmm. people have a fear of running out of money, and I can certainly understand that. And if you have a loved one who is got debt, who is retired, or planning on retiring, you know, you can have a conversation with them, but it's really hard to change people's habits, you know, to a large degree. You just have to help negotiate interest rates down, things like that, where you have an opportunity to do it. Number two, they say they face complications with reverse mortgages. I would give an amen to that. I will tell you, when reverse mortgages first came out, I thought they were dirty little things, and they were. They were sold by people who were selling things, right? And in my opinion, trying to make a commission. I think the reverse mortgage rules and situations and oversight have changed enough that it is a worthwhile part of some financial strategies. I don't expect either of my two kids to want the house that Barb and I live in. It'll be paid off, you know, unless I refinance it again, because again, interest rates and tax rate, it'll be paid off. And now I've got an asset that's just sitting there doing nothing that my kids won't want when I'm gone. So it's possible under the rules that we know of today that I may very well exercise a reverse mortgage depending on what the rules are there.
Sure.
They are vastly and dramatically different than where they were 15 years ago.
Mm.
And Sherry, as you know, I believe people put money into tax-deferred programs, 401ks and IRAs today, because of decisions that were made in 1980. Either by themselves or their parents or their employers, because in 1980, I think it was a really, really good idea.
So by that, you mean the scenario that was in place in 1980.
Right.
Yeah.
Where the top tax rate was 70%. Right?
Yeah, right.
But it changed when Reagan changed the tax code in 1986. So 31 years ago, right, the rules have changed. And I believe many people defer money that flat simply shouldn't be deferring money. But a decision was made, and so we go upon that same path, because most people don't spend 3 days in Kansas City with me reading private letter rulings with 300 other tax geeks.
Thank goodness. Right? It's, yes.
That
sounds like fun.
It was a lot of fun. You wouldn't believe the things that we learned. You know,
okay, fine.
The things that you don't know, and it's like, holy
That's
cow.
That's why we
right?
pay you to do
That's
this
why
job.
You pay. And I enjoy it, and it's my love in life. So, you know, there we go. But things change, and the the things that you're familiar with, those of you that are listening to the show, the things that you do, whether it be gardening or whether it be IT stuff or computers or my pharmacist or my engineers, when things change and you love it, you catch on to that change.
Right, right.
When it's a tertiary issue, something that's important to you, your health or your money, right? You come up with basic conclusions like liver and onions are good for you, right?
Yes.
And so then you finally you find out that they're not, and it's like, we don't have to eat those anymore, right? But yeah. There's things that people do in their financial lives that they don't understand really aren't in their best interest, yet they continue to do it. I think reverse mortgages might be one of those things that we need to relook at, rethink about when people are older.
Okay.
The third one, they say some have difficulty recovering from scams or identity theft. Mm. And I would concur with that. A couple of years ago, somebody decided to borrow my Social Security number and file a tax return in my name. The IRS sent a nice regular mail letter saying, Mr. Clark, by the way, the IRS never calls. Anybody who calls and says they're from the IRS, they're not.
They're not.
Regular mail. And when I called back, I kid you not, I don't believe Barb would have been able to have ever talked to them. The questions that they ask, you know, when was your second mortgage or your mortgage before this one? What bank was it with? What was the payment? Things that I didn't even know that the IRS knew. But I mean, it was a 15-minute question and answer series. And if I didn't have the 2015 return in front of me at that, or 14 return in front of me at that time, and know everything I knew about the finances, it's tough. I mean, it's tough getting around that. The next one, there's confusion over banking products and fees, how true people believe because they've been going to a bank forever that they can just go in and talk to the bank broker. Please, please don't buy an investment product at a bank. They are selling things. They're not registered investment advisors. They're not fiduciaries. Insurance, 401ks, those kind of things, guys, I'm telling you, you need a professional. I use the banks. I like the banks. The bankers are my friends. That is different than putting somebody in there where you're relying on the confidence of that banking relationship is not the right answer in my mind. And there's challenges with managing finances after the death of a spouse. That is so true, especially if you're the one who's gone and you're the one who took care of the money. We have many families who come in and say, listen, I really want to do this on my own, but I'm worried if something happens to
me,
what happens to my spouse?
Right, exactly.
And we've got programs for that to try to help people get stuff in order where they're still able to do it today, but there's somebody who's able to take care of them in the future and the relationships are already established. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark along with Sherry Kontos. If you are friends on WIBC, very, very happy to have you every Saturday morning. You're out now, so don't forget. You can go to iTunes, Consider This with Big Joe Clark.
Don't forget.
Or yourlifeafterwork.com to hear the next and last segment of the show. Sherry and I will take a break. You are listening to the best of Consider This, put together over the last few years of this show. Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
Giggles. Yeah. That's what I'm going to call you, Giggles.
Yeah, well, you know. I get nervous about this section.
Oh, don't get nervous.
I do because I try to stump you. I never do. And today we were on the same wavelength. Our brains were
if you brought anything in about retirement, the probability of stumping me is not like,
well,
right.
I know. Yes.
And what I mean by that, and let me be very, very clear. There are things that I do not know. I mean, there are things that I don't know. I don't know what they are. But there are things that I don't know.
That's true. So I might happen on one.
And so what I try to tell people who ask, it's like, Joe, why in the world should I pay you to take care of my resources? I've saved $1 million. I've done it on my own. It's all worked out. Why should I pay you? I go, here's why, Sherry.
Yes, tell me.
Things are going to happen. And I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know.
I don't.
But when things happen that we didn't know were going to happen, do you want to rely on what I don't know or what you don't know?
I'd rather, if it's financial, rely on what you don't know.
Yeah. And that's and I mean, you really have to stop and think about it. We live in a changing world, changing tax code, changing global economy, changing, you know, surprises that are there. There are going to be things that surprise me, things that I don't know. I go to tax school for 3 days twice a year, you know, to try to learn and you know, continue to develop and, you know, plot with my friends and, you know, ways we're going to help our families that we serve. But there's just simply put things that we don't know. The challenge is there's things that other people don't know, and ignorance is not bliss. With retirement, with retirement, you get one shot.
Right. It's not benign either.
No, it's not. So. You get one shot at this, folks. Right. And it's you know, I used to have a cooking show where I would cook and teach people about, you know, about food and finance simultaneously. And, you know, if I mess something up in the kitchen, I can throw it away and order pizza.
Yes.
You get one shot at retirement.
Right.
Don't blow it.
Wow.
All right. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. So here's our topic. I ran across this article, and it was from Insured Retirement Institute, Boomer Expectations for Retirement in 2017. The top 10 retirement issues that boomers face.
Okay.
Top 10. Number 10. And we've already touched on this today. They're not saving enough. They're not doing well in saving. 54% of boomers have retirement savings, and that percentage has fallen for the past 4 years. Only 54% have retirement savings across the board. Now, then we're talking about your people. We're talking about in general.
And the percentage has fallen?
Yeah, for the past 4 years. I mean, individually, like more people are, let me see. People who added to their retirement is up, but only marginally.
There we go.
So the overall percentage has fallen.
And I will buy that. Now, so part of this and part of this numerical thing that you hear, first of all, what the rest of the world doesn't do is not, doesn't impact your household directly.
Exactly.
What it does do, however, is impact the way that our economy is able to function. So it does matter, but some of these studies that you'll see, Sherry, is that people didn't save enough money. I will remind you that most of the pension funds in the United States are underfunded.
Mm.
And a big part of that came because people's life expectancy had changed.
Right, exactly.
And so many times people, you know, that were born in the 30s and 40s saved money for retirement based on what they were told to save. And now they don't have enough because they're living longer than what they anticipated.
Yep. Okay, number 9. Boomers haven't made realistic contingency plans for retirement. By that, they mean the biggest fallback is still Social Security in their minds.
Yeah. It's Social Security is still over half of the income for almost 90% of people who retire.
Yeah.
And it's 100% for probably 60%.
49%, they'll go back to work.
Yeah. But that's true in my, that's true here as well. People, you know, it's the retirement sounds glorious.
Yeah, but then it's, right? Yeah, not so
and,
much.
You know, 2 weeks after watching Gilligan's Island and a little bit of Mayberry, you're, it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. What am I going to do today?
And so we, many of our families either volunteer or consult or go to the SBA or
right.
They find something to do. It just
exactly.
happens.
Okay, number 8, they have regrets about how they prepared for retirement. That's kind of a mental thing. So just basically thinking, gosh, I didn't do this well, and now here I am. Number 7, they're
it does
not.
It's just very similar to it being June today.
Yeah.
Retirement does sneak up on you.
Yeah.
I mean, how
yeah.
in the world did I get to be 50?
You know, I know. Trust me.
I do not get this.
Yeah, yeah. They're not confident about how ready they are to retirement. So it's just the confidence level in it.
And there's good reasons for that. You know, when two people reach age 60, there is a 90% probability if they're in good health, not great health, if they're in good health. We're not talking about hikers and bikers and, you know, if two people reach age 60 in reasonable health, there's a 90% chance one of them makes it to 90. That is 30 years.
Right. Wow.
So,
wow,
my whole career has been 19 for 29 years, right? So think about the crash in 87. Think about the tech wreck in 2000, 9/11, the financial crisis in 08, housing prices going nuts between 03 and 06.
30 years covers a lot of time.
30 years is a lot of, you know, this hair didn't change color over
overnight.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It is a different world, and there's reasons not to be confident, but, you know, we create strategies to add to that confidence.
Right.
To provide clarity in a world of complexity.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the article said that lots of boomers are going to find that their total income from Social Security, pension, and savings won't cover their basic living expenses. So they just are concerned about that, haven't thought about that, haven't prepared for that. And again, we've already said this, they think Social Security will be their main source of income in retirement. That's because you don't know what's going to happen with Social Security and legislation. That's an issue, right?
It is an issue. You know, I will tell you, anybody who's over 60 right now, I would not worry about their Social Security. I would almost go to anybody who's 55 to 58 even. What is going to happen, what should happen, is we took full retirement age from 66 to 67,
right?
Based on when you're born.
Mm-hmm.
It probably needs to get closer to 70.
Mm-hmm.
When Social Security first came out, none of it was taxable. Today, based on your income, up to 85% of its taxable. Mm. That will probably go to 100%.
Wow.
That's one. We didn't used to have a cost of living allowance. Granted, they haven't been great the last 2 years, but we added the cost of living allowance in the late 70s, mid to late 70s. There's a chance that that may go away again. But it is the problem is it's a large part of people's retirement.
Right.
Or a big swath of the United States.
That's true.
And so you make many changes. One, politically, that's not feasible in the world that we live in. But number two, you'll end up with a lot of families that aren't able to eat.
And, yeah, right, exactly.
You know, so it's a touchy situation. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the top two things that boomers are concerned about, and we talk about this all the time. One, they don't know how much they'll need in retirement, which is, we've already mentioned, why we do the practice year. And that's number two. Number one is they still don't know when they'll be able to retire. So that's the other thing that you deal with your clients. I mean, I'm wondering if Joe Average Public can figure those two things out.
Well, I think you can figure out with what you know, you can do it. I mean, people will spitball it and say, I think I can make it on $3,000 or $4,000 a month or right. $2,000 a month. You know, there's some people who can, but in many cases, you can't. And the bottom line is retirement is made up of a period of a mental decision of I'm done with doing what I'm doing today, right? Or physically, I just can't do it anymore. Mm. But it's also the financial decision of where it has to be. And most people are resourceful. They figure out how to get by with less if they have to. I just don't want people to have to get by with less.
Right, right?
I want you to think about this, prepare for this, to be able to replace that standard of living.
Mm-hmm.
When we have our family updates, once a year when you come in for the update, you know, we check on the budget stuff to make sure that everybody's doing okay, staying on the right page, keeping things in line, so that retirement stays as a reality as opposed to a hope.
Right. So, now, this tends to hit women.
You're listening to Consider This, my friends. I hope you're having an outstanding day. We got to take a break. Sherry and I will be right back. You are listening to the best of Consider This, put together over the last few years of this show. Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
We are happy to have you along. Hey, this next topic, I would love to make lively and fun and exciting. Sherry, it's a sad issue, but I'm seeing more and more what we call special needs issues.
Yes.
You know, now, I've been in this industry for over 30 years, and maybe it's just nobody wanted to talk to a 21-year-old or a 25-year-old about autism or, you know, handicapped issues or those kind of things. Maybe we didn't know as much as we do now.
Or maybe it's more prevalent.
Right. So I'm not going to go there.
Right.
What I am going to tell you is special needs come from multiple circumstance. And a lot of people ignore one side of the issue. So obviously kids that are special needs, autism, having a, you know, cerebral palsy, whatever that happens to be,
mm-hmm.
where they are getting a Medicaid type of an assistance,
mm-hmm.
You need to be aware of some things. And we're going to talk through a few of those things that you need to understand and be aware of. But the other side of this is assets are becoming larger and larger and larger that are being transferred to that next generation.
Right.
And it truly is an enabling issue. You know, when you've got somebody who's making, you know, they're 25 or 35 years old and they're starting a family and they're living, you know, hopefully not paycheck to paycheck, but pretty darn close. And they mm-hmm. don't have a lot of assets. And all of a sudden dad dies and they get $1 million check in the mail. I see bad things happen with that all the time.
Right.
So when I set up trust for people, when I work with our attorneys, I'm not an attorney, don't pretend to play one. But one of the things that I build into the trust planning work that we do for our families is a special needs clause for all kids.
Yeah.
It's not just for ones that have mental deficiencies. It's ones that said, okay, we're going to give you opportunities to take responsibility, but also opportunities to mess up and it be okay because we've got your backside in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a critical thing. We've helped a lot of families go in that direction. I'm going to run this through with a special needs issue, though. You know, it's a big part of what you have to deal with is essentially three different issues, if you will. And then there's the fourth elephant in the room, as they say, which is the emotional side. You know, emotionally, I've heard the statement used retirement for three. So it's me, Barb, and one of my kids. If they were a special needs issue.
Right.
You cannot get rid of that emotional burden. Who's going to take care of that person when I'm gone? We had a mentally handicapped kid that went to church with us for 20 years. Mm. And I know that was Dad's biggest concern.
Sure.
Right? He had no other siblings. What happens to him when we're gone?
Right.
You know, so it's an issue. The big thing on the legal side is understanding that we live in a changing environment, right? So especially if you move states, understand that Medicare is a national program. Medicaid is a state plan. So Medicaid is different in Indiana than it is in Ohio.
It's different in Ohio than it is in Illinois.
Huh. You know, so when you move from, when you set up a special needs trust, what you hear people like me tell you is trust travel from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, very true. But a special needs trust is written in such a manner that it complies with the Medicaid rules inside of a particular state. You know, and I don't want to confuse anybody. Generally, you've got to have less than $2,000 in assets to be on Medicaid. And generally, you have to have very low income. But please keep in mind, it is state by state. There are local chapters of a place called the ARC, that's A-R-C, that you can go online and find. We've got one in Indianapolis that you can go through to try to find out some of this information. And it's usually ran by people who've got special needs issues in their family or who are motivated philanthropically to try to help, you know, society in a way, if it will. This is a very challenging issue because I see people make bad decisions Medicaid planning wise. I have a family that I take care of. Actually, it's a single mom or a single aunt now. She has no kids, and husband died, and there's about $500,000 in assets. She has three nieces and nephews. She gave us their names, their social security numbers. My team filled it out as the beneficiaries. And then in the family update, because every year we sit down and we go through those beneficiaries, I always ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the children is autistic.
Yeah.
And who was set up to get $150,000 of IRA money, which would totally destroy the Medicaid planning, the way that it works.
Wow.
That hurt the family. So the niece didn't know that the aunt was leaving this money behind.
Wow.
Right. And so essentially they would have had to been smart enough to disclaim. And in some states that doesn't even work. And in 30 days when the money was recognized, the Medicaid planning would have been, the Medicaid assistance would have been gone, money exhausted. So we helped her get with an attorney out there. I worked with him. We've got the accounts funded correctly so that the two kids get the majority of the assets. The special needs trust gets other money that is able to help with the daily needs. Right now, what you need to understand with daily needs, Sherry, is there are things that aren't covered by Medicaid, you know, like some dental work, some therapies, some communication devices, things that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Special Needs Trust does specifically is it helps with daily living needs without jeopardizing the Medicaid funding that comes from the government and the state to help take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at this, there are people who are qualified. According to the College of Financial Planning and the Board of Standards for the Certified Financial Planner Group, which, you know, I'm a part of, there's about 1,000 planners across the country that have any experience in this at all.
Wow.
There's about 250 that are actually chartered. And the credentials that you're looking for are CHSNC. It's Chartered Special Needs Consultant.
Wow.
And it's something that I could add to my CFP, you know, if I had time and we're doing it.
Mm.
We've done a pretty good job, I think, of building a network of people to say, hey, here's what you need to consider. Here's what a trust needs to look like. Here are some of the sources that are out there. There is one thing you need to be a knowledge and understand. It's called an ABLE account. And an ABLE account is specifically designed for people who were diagnosed before age 26.
Really?
Right. So somebody who's been handicapped their entire lives.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a few clients that are like that.
Sure.
Where we have the ABLE account. Now, just newsflash, Google, by the way, is data sensitive, not date sensitive.
Right.
Right. And I tell everybody that.
We say that, yep.
So when I looked at the rules this morning, just to brief myself before we did the show, it says that you can put $14,000 a year into the ABLE account, but you've got $100,000 total before you reach a challenging event, if you will, where you kind of violate some of the rules. My guess is with the tax code change, December 22nd of 2018, where we can now give $15,000 a year away, my guess is that 14 is probably 15, but I don't know that to be for sure.
Yeah.
But just keep in mind, there's a limited amount of money you can put into it every year. Mm. You've got a max amount of money there, but ABLE accounts, A-B-L-E, if this is an issue that's in your life, it's one of those things that you can look up. We're more than happy to help you walk through it. It's part of the deed, but I think understanding some of the financial strategies and tools, and especially some of the legacy planning issues that you have, and don't forget the enabling issue, right? It's, so it's not just kids with autism. It's
right. Yeah.
It's not that at all. We just need to be careful with our resources. We pass them on. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark. Along with Sherry Contos, you got a question or comment, shoot me an email. Consider This at yourlifeafterwork.com. You can always call us at 800-928-4001 or go to yourlifeafterwork.com. You are listening to the best of Consider This, put together over the last few years of this show. You know, there are articles that are written when I do my research, either for the radio or for teaching the planning team, you know, sharing with them. We do a couple of unique things, I think, inside of our office. One is because we manage the money internally, we have an allocation meeting that we have every week where we bring in people so that they can listen to what's going on. If you're a family that we happen to serve, you're actually welcome to attend with a reservation the allocation meeting. In all the years I've done it, I've never had anybody come more than twice. Mm-hmm. Most people just don't want to know how the sausage is made.
So when you say allocation meeting, I'm not sure people know what that means.
Well, we have a little more than 600 families we take care of, and there is about 7 or 8 different investment models that we operate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you come in and you've got money that's after tax, that's in an account that's exposed to the IRS, we're not going to liquidate everything that's in that and just put you in front of an IRA, the IRS's harm's, you know, in harm's
sure.
way.
Oh,
we're just
yeah,
not
going to
do it. So your portfolio may look a little different from a tax perspective.
Right.
But in an IRA or, you know, a plan like that, the models all look the same. So if I'm imbalanced, you're imbalanced, we're going to own the same percentage of the value. The account size may be different.
Right.
But we're going to own the same thing.
Right.
Our job in that allocation meeting is to be able to sit down and to make sure that we have the right things in each of those models for what they're assigned to do for their
task. So you're going to talk
task.
About specific companies?
Individual companies and individual
okay.
exchange traded funds
yeah.
and the macro things that are going on.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, Adam is our fundamental. He's a CFA, the chief investment strategist, and his job is really the fundamental part of the overall market as well as the sectors and then the individual companies that we have. He looks at them on a fundamental basis.
Yeah.
Andrew is a chartered market technician. His job is to look at it from that. You know, what's the stock doing price wise compared
right.
to it's the same sector, same peers. And I'm more of the macroeconomics. What is the big picture and demographics, you know, in the world as we live in today telling us that we need to be paying attention to?
See, I think I would like this allocation.
It's fine. Yeah. In our minds, but like I said, nobody's come more than twice. but the other thing we do is have a planning meeting, and the planning meeting is where we bring in the financial planners and two of our senior paraplanners. They come in and we talk about everybody we saw the last 2 weeks because everybody's on salary. There's nobody gets paid to do anything. Sherry would say, okay, we saw these people and talked about the Social Security, and everybody would make sure that we would have said it the same way or add any thoughts that need to be able to be in.
That's a good idea.
No different than the medical world that does it when a patient's died.
Yeah.
They have a debriefing over what could we have done better, differently. We do it up front to make sure that everybody stays on that same page. And if it's something that we've never come across, we build a one-page checklist that says these are the things that you need to ask to know so that when we bring in a new planner or a paraplanner is doing it, we have the ability to be able to get that done.
Yeah.
So anyhow, in this case, it's an oddity. The title of the article came from Money, and the title of the article was Couples Get Separation Anxiety Over Financial Planners. And it was re-aired in Reuters. And he said that the 13%, according to the study, this is actually done by Fidelity, 13% of couples keep their own respective financial advisors, according to a 2015 couples retirement study based on from Fidelity. You know, and I, the first thought, I said, there's no way. Well, you know, we're kind of weird at the Financial Enhancement Group. At 600 families, and I think there have been 28 divorces in the whole thing. You know, they're, so they're long-term marriages. Almost everybody's married or widowed or widower, and, you know, just the way it is. But we do have people who have come to us after a second marriage. Who have me as a planner on one side, and they do their own 401k. They may not have a planner. They may think they can do it on their own. And there's one family I mentioned that I actually take care of both of them, but separately.
That's so funny.
And so in this, in their research, they said 28% of couples reported keeping their financial accounts mostly or completely separate from their spouse or significant other. That was up from 20% who did that just 2 years earlier. Most of it is the Gen Xers that, according to the study, that probably shouldn't be surprising. They said that that was because people were getting married later.
Right.
Often had careers, already established a relationship.
Right.
You know, the average woman now, which has increased because we used to get married at 25 and a half. Average woman's getting married at 27. Average man's at 29. Both historic highs. The problem here, guys, the problem is it's very easy to have conflicting strategies, overlapping holdings, and duplication of fees. And we all know that I hate excess fees and expenses. The duplication of strategies is one thing. Overlapping are things that are contrary, bug the garbage out of me. But the real thing is, if you are married and you're filing a 1040 jointly, and again, this article did not take into any consideration what's going on that tax return. You know, whether you're doing Roth conversions or not. If I do something, if Barb and I kept our money separate and I did something that impacted her tax return, she's going to have to pay the piper, even though she had no, there was no way to have that discussion.
Right.
And I think, you know, the article goes through this thing of life saying, hey, we need to continue to, you know, look, we need to communicate. We need to talk about the investment. I'm going to give you some of the things they said, which I, some of them, it's obviously he's never dealt with people. but it's still the 1040 has to be the thing that is there. So his first suggestion is get the planners in a room quarterly or at least annually. So you'd have me and the hubby and you and the wife and we'll just have a sit down. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Talk about more fees and expenses in an agitated situation.
Right.
This is if you've ever done anything in mediation or anything else, because both either one of the planners, if they were doing their job, as I do with the ones that I take care of individually, I have told them on multiple cases they would not hurt my feelings. You know, it would be better for you to have one person working together than for them for what you're doing. And they say, well, I'm not leaving you and my husband won't do the other. Or you know, my wife won't do the other. You know, and it's, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, you just can't. Secondly, don't feel pressured into snap decisions. That's, you should never feel that. Unpack your attachment. Ask why this planner is better than that planner or this company is better than that company. That one's a good one. Use the moment to uncover savings. Now, this one is good. In this suggestion, they said maybe one partner has very favorable fees with a particular bank or brokerage firm, while the other has a terrific deal with an insurer. And that happens especially in company benefits. I see that a lot where one 401k plan trumps another 401k plan or where the matching is different. We really want to be able to bring those all in together. And the example that they used in here, they had 14 different financial accounts scattered among various institutions. 14, how do you keep track of that?
Wow.
You can't give any of them the time that you need. People do that out of thinking they're having diversification, and that's just not, it doesn't work well. But, you know, we want to pay attention to old annuity contracts, things that are out there that give you better strength and opportunities. And it's, you know, you need to know, even if it's a second marriage, even if you were late getting married, let's look at what all of the advantages are. Even if you're going to keep a checking account separate, let's at least know what's going on, because it all winds up on your 1040. And my friends, it's all important. When markets go up and down, savings accounts go up and down. When you send a check to the IRS, it never comes back. It just doesn't. And, you know, if we can keep that 1040 in front of us at all times, make the best decisions there, we'll have a better chance of helping you get to retirement and enjoying the life that you, you've so desired. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Kontos. You got a question or comment, shoot me an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. Have a great week. We will see you again soon.